This lesson is called The Divine Promise, Part 18. We should keep trusting and having faith in God and His keeping power. Bible says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Faith is believing that you didn't deserve what Christ has done for you. This will always be the truth. Grace is given. It's not earned. It's given to you out of God's generosity. The gift of grace is of God, not based on our works of yesterday, today, or forever. The work of salvation is always of God. The word says, "He will perfect that which concerneth me." The Lord has already dealt with all of our sins, and the devil has no right to bring it up, but you know, he will always try. But if we listen to the lies of the devil, then we try to repent over and over of something that God chose to forget, and he absolutely does not remember it. So legalism gets you out of grace and into bondage. One might ask, well, what's legalism to a Christian? Well, it teaches you that although we are saved through faith in Christ, sanctification is a matter of submitting to certain rules or standards. Thus, one's Christian progress is judged by whether or not one keeps all these prescribed rules, such as don't watch a movie, don't go over here and enjoy some good music, don't listen to this, don't listen to that. Make no mistake, these rules might have value to keep Christians from certain select sins, but they are not a substitute for the fruit of the Spirit. Thus, once again, rules are misused. So this life exists in our minds only, but not in God's mind. God has no remembrance of our past sins. When we confessed our sins, he cleansed us from all unrighteousness. You know, many Christians walk around in defeat, and some don't even want to start the journey because of the lies that the devil is telling them. Why even start the journey? You know you will not be able to always please God, and you're too weak to be obedient and to be a child of God. They don't realize that it is God that worketh the will and the do in you to perform his will. When the devil convinces you that God is still angry at you for some past sin, then he will have a stronghold in your life and in your mind. Sometimes when we make a mistake, the devil says, "See, you're doing it again. You have not changed at all." We must come to the revelation that God has already dealt with all of our sins, and we are fully justified. There is no record of any of our sins. He has cleansed us from all of our sins. There is no record of our sins in heaven, only works of praise and worship, and the time we have shared the gospel with those that are lost. Proverbs 11:30, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Daniel 12:3, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." He may keep records of our works in Christ and through Christ, but not our sins. Spiritual works follows the born-again Christian. These are not works that make us justified or works that save us. Remember, we are saved by his life, not ours. But these are spiritual works that Christ will perform through us for his glory and his kingdom. Romans 5:17, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Christ Jesus," or Jesus Christ. So we are going to reign in life by a gift that is given to us. We didn't earn it, and we don't deserve it. It is a gift of righteousness. This is not our righteousness. His righteousness is given to us. That has nothing to do with what we do. We are righteous because of him. It is a gift. And if you try to be good enough to meet God's standard of righteousness, you are in for a troubled life, and you will walk in self-condemnation. Because it is the law that condemns us. but it is grace that sets us free. That's powerful. Stand in grace, Paul said. Stand in grace. It's not anything that we do, but it is what he has given us as a gift. The righteousness of the saints is a righteousness given to us by God as a gift. Saint meaning those who are sanctified by his grace through his blood. Our blood is corrupt. Our human life is corrupt. We're not saved by our blood. We're not saved by our life, but his blood and his life. Anything that has to do with our efforts or our blood is not acceptable. Cain offered up a sacrifice to God based on his own blood, sweat, and tears, and God rejected it, even though he worked hard to present it to God. All Abel did was offer up another's blood, and God accepted it. The sacrifice that Abel offered up was a picture of the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only sacrifice that God accepts. Our life when we came into this world is born of corrupt seed. But when we are born again, we are born of incorrupt seed and undefiled by the Spirit of God. The holy seed cannot be defiled. The new birth is a gift. The new birth comes with sanctification and an inheritance that fadeth not away. We just grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and allow the Lord to use us for his kingdom. Yield our members to obedience and to the Lord for his exaltation and his glory. He has set us free to serve him in love. We don't have to carry the burden of trying to earn righteousness with God. That is given to us as a gift. So now we can serve him in liberty without the worry of whether we are saved or not. The hard part was accomplished by the Lord, and he has handed us a gift so we can serve him without reservation. He's given us eternal life as a gift. We can't lose this gift, because the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. So if God has given us a gift of righteousness, he is never going to take it away. Romans 5:18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. In other words, condemnation is gone. We cannot be condemned by anything. The word says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. The free gift has come to all who believe. So in this verse, Paul is talking to Christians that have been born again. When you really understand what the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is all about, the devil will have a hard time moving you away from grace. Stand in grace. Don't be moved. Be steadfast in your faith in God that saved you by the death of his son, and there is nothing you can add to it. It is important to grow in your understanding of grace. The more you learn about the generosity of God, the less the devil can torment you. You know, the devil is the father of lies, and he comes to steal and kill to destroy that new life and joy in you. But it's too late. You are saved, sealed, and delivered in Christ. And it's too late for the devil to do anything but pester you and try to torment you and make you powerless as a witness. The more you learn about the grace of God, the more you want to share it and tell others of this good news. Luke 2 verse 10, but the angel said to them, talking to the shepherds in the field, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. The good news is that salvation is a free gift, and you can never lose it because of God's keeping power in your life to bring you into your eternal inheritance. If you could lose it, then all of us would have lost it a long time ago, because as long as we are in these sinful bodies, we will make mistakes. You know, the Lord never sinned. He was perfect. Therefore, he was the perfect sacrifice for all of our sins. Our new life in Christ erases our past sins. Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, the Lord Jesus, shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered in that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You can't out-sin God's grace, and you cannot exhaust his forgiveness. Then it reads in verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Like I said, it's by his life that we are saved. People will sometimes look at our life and suggest that it is our righteousness. Oh, you're such a good person, you know. We are not righteous, but he is. And it is his righteousness that we have as a gift. It has nothing to do with what we do, but it has everything to do with what he did. The word of God says that he is our righteousness. Should I say any more? Wow. He is our righteousness. So what can you do that is righteous? Nothing, because you're saved by his righteousness. He is our righteousness. As long as we are still in the flesh, and there will always be things in our human nature as we look into the mirror that are not so perfect. And to get to heaven, God accepts nothing less than perfection. In heaven, we have a glorified body that is perfect and without sin. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the inward man of the heart. He sees you acting in faith and standing in grace and leaning on his righteousness, because you are poor and you have no righteousness of your own. You know, the beggar at the gate was poor, but the Lord saw the inward man who was rich in faith. And then on the other hand, the rich man who appeared to be rich in works was poor spiritually. He did not make it to heaven because he trusted that being rich was something you earn or work for, but not in God's eyes. Romans 6, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. As we walk in the newness of life, we should not get into this mindset that we can live a perfect life. When we do, we start getting into legalism. It is not that we continue in sin, but we don't want to allow the devil to get us into condemnation when we do sin. Once we are born again and we have this newness of life, we become sensitive to the things that are wrong and displeasing to God. Before we were born again, we were not so sensitive to sin because we were dead in trespasses and sin. When we are sensitive to sin, this proves we have this newness of life. But what happens is that when we do fall, the devil tries to convince us that we are not saved, or we would not have committed whatever sin it may be that we committed. When we are born again, we really hate sin. We don't like sin. We don't love it like we did when we were not born again. We know that we have life when we do hate sin. And we should be thankful that the Lord paid the price for all of our sins when we do fall. The Bible says a righteous man may fall 7 times, but he gets back up again. But the wicked will fall into mischief. Our sensitivity to sin should bring praise to our hearts and life, not condemnation. When we are born again, we feel like we can't really get away with anything. Yet there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Our awareness of sin makes us know that we are alive in him. Then it reads, for we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon yourselves also dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. When we get out from under grace and go back to the law, then the law makes sin exceedingly sinful. Yet we are under grace, but we are not a slave to sin. But if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Like I said, advocate meaning someone who is standing in our behalf. But we should never let the devil convince us that we can lose what God has given us. We can't lose it because his life is living within us. And nothing can separate us from his love and the gift of salvation he died to give us. Verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. So we become the servants of righteousness because we believe that Christ is for what he's done for us. We do fall at times, but we don't live in those sins. But the devil is quick to try to convince us that we don't have what we have in Jesus. What makes us hate sin is that we have the life of God within us. But we live in an imperfect body of sin. It's not perfect. Our bodies are fallen. We all make mistakes, but we don't need to allow the devil to condemn us and take our joy away. Rejoice in the fact that we are sensitive to sin and we don't live in it. In verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. It is not us that is doing all this, because if it was us, we could not yield ourselves really to righteousness. When we are struggling and putting forth all this human effort to be righteous, then we are trying to establish our own righteousness. We yield ourselves to him. When a person yields, they just stop struggling and they let the Lord take over. We yield ourselves to the one who is righteous. That leads us into all truth. For in verse 20, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Verse 21, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. So when the devil does accuse us, we become ashamed that we ever did those things. We should not let the devil take that shame and twist it and condemn us. If we sin, like I said, we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the price for all of our sins. The devil will try to make us feel ashamed and use shame to get us to deny what God has done for us. Then we make God a liar. Then we start believing the devil. Verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But again, this is his holiness. Wages of sin is death. When you're trying to work under the law, then you're sinning, and as a result of trying to keep the law, your paycheck is always going to be death and not life. The law does not produce life, it produces death. Romans 4:15. For the law always brings punishment on those who try to obey it. The only way to avoid breaking the law is to have no law to break. So grace sets us free to serve God in the newness of life and not the letter of the law. We don't have to work at sin anymore. We don't have to work at any of this because the Lord has forgiven us of all of our sins and cleansed us from all unrighteousness. So this working at trying not to sin because we feel like we'll, you know, go to hell if we commit sin. No, the Lord paid the price. We make it by his life. Romans 7:1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. The fruit unto God is the life of Christ in us. For when we were in the flesh, verse 5, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Verse 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of lust, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. Wow. When we are first born again, we feel conviction. Before we repented and we were born again, we were not as sensitive to those feelings of lust. In fact, we did not think there was anything wrong with it. But now the new man inside of us is more sensitive to what is pleasing to God and what is not pleasing. The life of Christ living in us makes us aware of the fleshy desires, and we feel conviction of the Holy Spirit. This is all the work of God. We now have the life of God in us and the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave his life for us. And he gives us strength through his Spirit to resist the lustful desires of the flesh. Yet when we do fall, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. This is not something we can do on our own. The Spirit leads us into all truth, and the truth sets us free. The truth is, we can't keep the law of the Lord. He kept it for us. Yet we don't use our liberty to serve the law of sin, but we delight in doing the will of God. We have no righteousness of our own. The Lord has given us the gift of righteousness, and all we do is just yield. And if we fall, our sins are covered, because the law does not save us. His blood does all the saving. And because we have been born again and we have this new life in us, we don't stay down because we hate sin. Yet the law of sin still exists in our human bodies. Our new bodies are waiting for us, and our new bodies are sin-free because of the incorruptible and undefiled seed that brought about the new birth. We will never have to struggle with the flesh on the other side, because Christ crucified the flesh for us and rose the third day. And when we see him, we will be like him. We will have a perfect body. But in the meantime, on earth, we may sin, yet that sin has already been paid for in full by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord, who has come and set us free from the condemnation of the law. His blood is continually covering us, and his power is keeping us saved until that final day when we shall see him face to face, blameless and without shame, without rebuke, because of the price the Lord paid at Calvary's cross. We have so much to be thankful for. Knowing his grace produces gratitude in our hearts for what the Lord has done for us. He purchased our salvation, and he has come to save us from our sins. When we are born again, our sins are forgiven, and we will always be forgiven, and heaven is ours by the gift of God who loved us before the foundation of the world. And remember, we are saved by his life, not our life. By his blood, not our blood and our efforts, but his blood.